Hi, I'm Maz Jobrani. I'm an Iranian-American comedian. And when they told me that they're doing a program about Iranians in Los Angeles, I thought I'm the perfect person to be your guide. Because first of all, I'm Iranian, I'm American, and lastly, I'm a comedian, which means I got nothing to do during the day. So I could take you around what I like to call Tarangelis.
Broadcasting live from Universal City, California, this is KIRN. Radio Iran.
Wherever you go in Los Angeles, you can see Iranians everywhere.
Do not engage in any gossiping if you are not prepared to defend it, because everyone here speaks Farsi at least a couple of words.
I mean, when you drive around and you think about how many shops and stores are staffed by Iranian people, it seems like 100%.
From the person who's taking your order at McDonald's all the way down to your Match.com first date.
I'll be driving in my car and like an old Russian guy will be like, Tarangelis! Iranians have arrived in Hollywood.
And not just Hollywood. Some of the biggest CEOs in California and Silicon Valley are Iranian. You guys buy stuff on eBay? Well, you can thank the Iranian founder, Pierre Omid Yar. And who do you think is the CEO of YouTube? Huh? Go ahead, guess. It's an Iranian, Salar Kamangar. And the recent rover Curiosity landing on Mars? That's right, people. We made it to Mars. The flight director was a young Iranian dude with a cool mohawk haircut, Babak Ferdowsi. In fact, we got over 100 Iranian scientists at NASA. And the list goes on and on and on. Not bad for a community that only came here around 30 years ago after the small matter of a revolution in 1979. On a nice hot summer evening, we met a group of young Iranian-American entrepreneurs smoking hookahs on their rooftop in Los Angeles. These guys could be considered the poster children for the land of opportunity. Reza Balvar is an attorney and part-time entrepreneur.
You can see there's a very tangible Iranian footprint in LA. I mean, we're standing here on the roof, and I can point to buildings that I know were either developed or are owned now by Iranian families. Like, there's a Mani Brothers building over there, and on top of that is the Soho House, which is like an LA landmark. It's where celebrities and the LA social elite go to meet and congregate. And then you point over in that direction, and you've got, you know, Melrose, which most of the buildings on a certain strip in Melrose are owned by Iranians. And then over there, you've got Beverly Hills, where the mayor used to be Iranian. And so there's a huge Iranian footprint in what is one of the largest cities in the world.
As for me, I decided early on to become an actor and a comedian. You might know me from films such as The Interpreter with Sean Penn and Nicole Kidman, Friday After Next with Ice Cube, the Axis of Evil comedy tour with me. That's right, people. I do stand-up comedy.
What's up, April? How are you guys?
And as you might guess, the Iranians in Los Angeles give me a lot of material to work with.
So Iranians, we actually are taking over Los Angeles. We own a lot of Los Angeles. I don't know if you've noticed this, we own a lot of buildings in LA. My friends are so rich, you can't even go drinking with them. They just want to keep buying buildings. Like, I was at a bar, I swear to God, the guy was ordering a drink. He's like, yeah, let me get a margarita, a strawberry daiquiri, and the building. I take the building, yes. He's like, oh, you want a building too? Okay, make it two daiquiris, two buildings, one for my cousin. You take our oil, we take your land. Hello.
And one of the biggest property moguls in Los Angeles is Sam Nazarian. We met him at the rooftop pool of one of his hotels in Beverly Hills.
Welcome to the SLS. How can I help you?
We're actually one of the few companies out there nationally telling people from a trend and a tastemaker standpoint what's relevant, what's cool, what's aspirational. And for a Iranian-led company to be able to do that in one of the most difficult cities on earth, which is Los Angeles, to be able to have that role today as we do. It's a little ironic, I think. Sometimes you pinch yourself because we were the people that we couldn't get in. We didn't get the great seat at the restaurant. We weren't allowed in certain circles. Now we actually are leading those circles.
Right turn on Westwood Boulevard in zero.
So in order to find Iranians in Los Angeles, the best place to start is Westwood. And as a matter of fact, Westwood is so established as the heart of Iranians in Los Angeles that if you go to Google and you put in Tarangelis, it comes up on Google Maps. Go ahead, try it now. And Iranians aren't just in Westwood anymore. They're all over, from the Valley to Irvine to Glendale, everywhere. So come on, get in the car. Let's take a drive through Tarangelis.
There's a sign here that says Pershing Square, site of the beginning of the Persian business community in Los Angeles, beginning in 1974. I didn't know we were here then. Pop into any store and you'll hear Farsi, and all the signs are in Farsi too. You can hear what is known as Los Angelesi Iranian pop music in all the stores on Westwood. Tarangelis is the center for the Iranian pop music industry in exile. There are so many businesses here, Iranians even have their own yellow pages. I'm going to go meet the man who publishes it, Bijan Khalili.
I published the first Iranian yellow pages ever outside Iran in 1981, June 1981. When you go to 80s yellow pages, you can barely find any Iranian attorney. Today, the lawyer section is from page 841 all the way to page 960, for example. 120, 30 pages is lawyers.
In fact, the community has grown so much that the census estimates there's about 400,000 Iranians in America. But we all know there's much more. The problem is, we just don't like to answer the census.
We don't. If some random guy calls an Iranian person's house and starts asking questions, we don't answer. Right? Because we think it's the government or the FBI, they're going to come up. I'm saying, if somebody calls an Iranian person's house, hello, sir, how many people live at your house? And we're like, zero. What's your income, sir? Zero. How old are you? Zero!
And according to an independent study at MIT, Iranian Americans are one of the most highly educated and successful immigrants ever to come to America. There are over 500 Iranian professors teaching at top-ranked universities, and they're said to contribute billions of dollars in wealth to the U.S. economy every year.
So I'm going to make my way to Beverly Hills now to meet the twice-elected mayor of Beverly Hills, a Persian man by the name of Jimmy Delshad. Let's go for a short drive. We got the top down. We're driving on Cannon Drive in Beverly Hills. Beautifully palm tree-lined street. Sun is shining. I don't think life could get any better than this.
Jimmy Delshad, do solemnly swear.
I didn't think I would become a mayor. They told me I will never become a mayor.
Of mayor of the city of Beverly Hills.
Because we are not ready for you.
Mayor of city of Beverly Hills.
Congratulations.
I'm the highest ranking Iranian American elected official in the United States.
Mr. Delshad.
Salam.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Wonderful to see you.
We're meeting him at the five-star Montage Hotel, which Delshad helped bring to Beverly Hills while he was mayor. But first, I got to take care of some business.
Is there a restroom here?
It's going to be on your right side.
I'll be right back.
Mention my name. You get a good seat. Do you like that? When you are with Buzz, you have to be funny. Every time he's around me, my sense of humor comes back.
Jamshid Delshad, also known as Jimmy, is a Jewish Iranian born in Shiraz, Iran. He came to America in 1959 with the first wave of immigrants and later became the mayor of Beverly Hills, where 22% of the population is Iranian.
When we came in America, we went to school, and I was a janitor when I was going to the university. I didn't have
any
money.
Where was this? Where?
Minnesota. But I said to myself, you know, this is not right, but I'm going to make a living. I really, truly believe I could not have been a mayor, no matter which country I lived in, except in America. I really saw Persians are successful in everything they've gone into, from business to education to space, everything. But there is one area that they were not successful, and that was politics. Because politics sets the rules. And if you remember, soon after 9/11, there were a lot of people that were jailed because they asked them to come and show their visa status. And a lot of them didn't have good visa status. So they kept them for 1 or 2 weeks without anybody knowing. And nobody was speaking on their behalf. I said, you know, that's not right. I want to be a voice. I talked to former mayors. I asked for their support, and they said, Mr. Delchat, this community is not ready for a Persian. I said, I'll prove you wrong. And after I won, I went to each one of them. And now they say you're the best mayor we had.
So far, so American dream. But not everyone came with the intention of staying. After the revolution of 1979, which toppled the Shah of Iran, many fled to Los Angeles, expecting to stay for a short while and then go home.
The Persian tea should be labriz, labsuz, labduz.
Homa Sarshar is a writer, journalist, and broadcaster.
I came to United States on December 9th, 1978, a couple of months before the revolution. We felt something is happening. So my husband told me, let's go get out of the country with kids and we will come back in a month or so when everything cooled down. We didn't even say goodbye. And we're here. It's 32 years now. The idea and the concept is Persian garden. You have a fountain in the middle, which we call it Avon in Persian. It reminds me of Tehran. So this is what we do. Everywhere that we go, we just create a small Iran or small Tehran for ourselves.
Some came with their wealth intact, while others had to start from scratch. So why, I wondered, did Iranians come to Los Angeles of all places? To answer my question, I turned to Dr. Reza Aslan of the University of California.
They settled in Los Angeles primarily, I think, because there's so much about this city that reminds them of Tehran. The sprawling urban landscape, the weather, except for the fact that, it doesn't ever snow here, the car culture, the mountains, it sort of feels a little bit like Tehran. What's really remarkable is I think that this exile community probably assumed that it would be a temporary thing.
For the first 10 years, I used to call this community a suitcase community. They always had their suitcase ready to go back. And after a while, I just went and talked to them that you're living in a different country. Your kids will never go back if you go back. Open the suitcase, hang up the clothes, and become part of that community.
And so when they began to build this little Tehranjulis community with Persian restaurants and Persian stores and Persian cinemas and Persian satellite channels, I think in a sort of accidental way, they began to create a bubble, one that allowed them to feel as though they had never left Iran.
That reminds me, they have a lot of satellite TV channels that broadcast only in Farsi, over 40 in fact, beaming back to Iran. The younger generation watch for the music videos, while the older generation watch for the news, nostalgia, and the mudslinging. So we planted roots in America, but it's been a bumpy ride. There was one big defining moment which shaped relations between Iran and the United States.
Good evening. The U.S. Embassy in Tehran has been invaded and occupied by Iranian.
In 1979, Iranian students took 52 Americans hostage for 444 days.
Letters that demand every.
It was a time that no Iranian American can forget.
To arresting every Iranian living in America.
Sara is a second generation Iranian. Born in the U.S.
I remember the hostage crisis very well because our neighbors were a family of rednecks, really. They were really difficult to live next to. They made our lives hell. I remember we would come home to broken windows and dead animals on our porch, and we would be playing on the driveway, and they would drive up to our driveway to scare us and then drive away. My brother, my older brother, would get beat up all the time. It was really difficult, very hard.
Iranians started calling themselves Italian, Greek, or Persian. Anything but Iranian, as Sara and her friend Goli explained for the BBC World Service.
Initially, being Iranian was the furthest thing. I didn't want to be it. I went to Iran the first time when I was 21 years old, see my family out there, and that's when I actually felt like, okay, yes, it's okay to be Iranian. When people ask me where I'm from, I say Iranian. Any opportunity I get, I say I'm Muslim.
I say I'm Iranian too, because our country is not called Persia anymore. I feel like for some reason, Iranians who say that they're Persian are hiding behind something.
Or like an image that you want to portray of Iran.
Exactly.
Like if you say I'm Persian, it means I'm sort of more cultured and I'm more posh. But if you say I'm Iranian, they think you're enriching uranium in your garage if you say you're Iranian.
The Iranians don't even say they're Iranian. Iranians say they're Persian.
Iranian, we say we are Persian. You know, it sounds nicer and friendlier. We even smile. When we say we're Persian, we smile. I am Persian. I am Persian. I am not dangerous. I am Persian. I am Persian, like the cat. Meow.
As for me, I was suddenly being offered a bunch of roles in which I just kept dying a lot.
A lot of times in Hollywood, when casting directors find out you're of Middle Eastern descent, they go, oh, you're Iranian, great. Can you say, I will kill you in the name of Allah? I go, I could say that, but what if I were to say, hello, I'm your doctor? They go, great, and then you hijack the hospital.
When Iranians came here, they created their own style of homes. And after a while, it became known as Persian palaces mm-hmm. because they usually use columns, build it like White House. Everywhere, now, doesn't matter what it is, they put three or four columns in front and became Persian palaces. So it became so famous and infamous.
But such lavish lifestyles, far from the reality of most Iranians who live more down-to-earth lives. It's a diverse community spread out all over Southern California made up of Iranian Jews, Muslims, Zoroastrians, Baha'is, and Christians. Adam Cameron is a refugee caseworker in Glendale, which has a large Iranian-Armenian community.
We're now at Maple Park. Here they walk around, they play with those prayer beads, and they play backgammon. The Iranians are over there on that side. Salam. Aleykum
salam. I'm 24 years old.
I've been here for 24 years. It's not bad. I'm content. But I miss Iran. Life is not just about eating and sleeping, is it? I had a comfortable life in Iran. It's not the same here. I get by with a small income. Most of all, my parents and brothers are buried in Iran, and my one wish is to be able to visit their grave just once. Now you are making me cry. What can I do? I live in hope.
And I know that a lot of people don't get the chance to know Iranian people, and all they do is see it on TV, you know, in the news or whatever, but, and I was that way probably at some point, and they need to put that aside, because Iranians are, and this is sad, but they make such an effort to show Americans, or non-Iranians, that they are good people, and it's sad that they have to go to such lengths to speak louder than the voice that has been created for them by politics.
The pull of the old country is strong, and while the U.S. is home to many, their hearts remain in Iran. Homa Sarshar is reading at a night of poetry and music called A Night of Nostalgia.
This is our identity, and we don't want to lose it, because every time that we get together, we just talk about Iran. We talk about our past. We recite poetry. We listen to music. Every single day and every single moment that passes reminds us that this is your country. Don't forget it. We don't want to forget it.
There's not a minute that I'm not thinking about Iran. I really miss it. When I went in 96, I was feeling that, you know, my feeling was that I own everything. This is where I belong to. And here, despite everything that I have no complaint about, everything is okay, good food, good environment, good weather, good people, but it's still that sense of ownership is lost. It's not there.
I don't think we're ever Iranian anymore. I don't think we're considered Iranian. We're not considered American. We're sort of this in-between, kind of without country. You're always going to sort of feel you're not really welcome here. This really isn't quite yours. And when you go to Iran, you stick out like a sore thumb there, too. Everybody knows. You walk into a cab, and the minute you get there, they're like, oh, you came from the States. So I don't think anywhere really feels like home.
Reza Aslan again.
My generation of Iranian Americans who feel deeply connected to both worlds. We always talk about how we need to build a bridge between Iran and the United States. What we don't realize, however, is that we ourselves are that bridge.
On my final stop, let's go to a shisha place in Encino where young Iranians that are Jewish, Muslim, Christian, of all backgrounds, hang out and mix it up. Walking around Tarangelis, I tend to get recognized a lot. As my friend likes to say, I'm the Persian Elvis, aka Pelvis.
Right. Our parents, I mean, still say like how Muslims do have their own cultures, how Christians have their own cultures, but for us young ones, like, we're very open-minded.
We don't see a difference.
We're very Americanized.
Your guys' generation, is there conflict between, do you hear like some of them talking crap about the other ones?
It was trash talk. In high school, I'll never forget when I first came in, because I went to a private Jewish school for 12 years, and then I went to Palisades, and I met a group of Muslim Persian kids. The first thing they asked me, I said, are you Jewish? I said, yes, like, it's okay, nobody's perfect. And I was like, oh, whoa, you know. But it was always just trash talking.
But then they took you in, they embraced you.
Yeah, everybody's friends. I'm currently dating a Muslim girl right now, so I mean, it was a little all over the place.
You are the peace process.
We should just ship us over to the Middle East right now.
Left turn on Santa Monica Boulevard in...
Mayor Delshad is hopeful about the future.
Once something happens where we have a little bit of a more calmer relationship with Iran, that people will not look at Iranians as terrorists and others, will see the benefit of having Iranians in every university, every bank.
Do you think we'll ever have someone with a Persian background become a president of the United States? Ever?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, I'm confident it will happen. Since my mayorship, other people are running. They have run for Congress, they've run for judge, they've run for sheriff, and I'm hoping that in every election, more Persians would run. That would be my goal and my dream.
I'll leave you guys with this. I try with my stand-up to break stereotypes, present Middle Easterners in a positive light, and I hope that in the coming years, more film and television programs come out of Hollywood presenting us in a positive light. Who knows, maybe one day we'll even have our own James Bond. Right? My name is Bond. Jamal Bond. Till then, I'll keep telling jokes. I hope you keep laughing. Have a good day. Thank you.
That's it from me, Maz Jobrani, and my producer, Shuku Amirani. Thank you for listening.